Well, bless God. Did you enjoy the worship?
Amen.
Give the Lord a big hand, please. The Bible says better is one day in the house of God than 1,000 days elsewhere. Do you believe that?
Amen.
God is good. And all the time? God is good. There we go. All right. Let me check again. Who's here for the first time tonight? All right. You might find us a very weird bunch of people. That's fine. Even weird people are welcome in the kingdom of God. Amen?
Amen.
Praise God for that. Yeah, give the Lord a hand, man. Come on. I'm not your average pastor, and this is not your average church. But one thing I'm going to do is I'm going to teach you the truth. And when I've taught you the truth, I'm going to pray with you about it. And probably your eyes are going to be open to a lot of things that you did not see before and that you did not know. Christianity is a very practical thing. Just because we don't always experience it practical doesn't mean that's the way God intended it to be. If you look at the way Jesus ministered, he preached, he taught, and he did something about it. And in a lot of our churches, that's just fallen away. You will get a good sermon, but that's all you'll get. Jesus wants to minister to people. How many of you know that he's alive? Come on. Are we celebrating his resurrection now? Now you see, my friend, whether you like it or not, the same Jesus that raised the dead is still alive. The same Jesus that cast out devils is still alive. The same Jesus that healed the sick is still alive. And the same Jesus that performed miracles is still alive. He hasn't disappeared. He hasn't gone anywhere. But he did ask one very important question. He said, when I return to the earth, will I still find faith? I want to ask you that question. If he walks into this church tonight, will he find faith?
Yes.
Well, I hope so. Because the Bible says without faith, it is impossible to please God. And the thing is, we've come to a place where for so many years, we haven't experienced the power of God that a lot of people doubt that the power of God is real. Tonight, you're going to see the power of God. You're going to feel it. You're going to experience it. And God is going to touch your life. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Last week and the week before, I started speaking on understanding curses. I understand that this is a hot topic. I understand that a lot of people don't like it when we talk about things like this. It's not about what you want. It's about what God wants. Amen? And if it's in the Bible, it's good for you. Look at your neighbor and say, if it's in the Bible, it's good for you. And you probably need to know it. You know, you can't be selective when you read the Bible. You know, I like it. Scary stuff. Skip. That's the problem. You know, a lot of people read the Bible and they only take out of it what they think is good for them. That's not the way God wants you to read the Bible. You have to accept the truth and the fullness thereof. Even the stuff you don't like. Some people are willing to believe in curses and demons and evil spirits and spells and witchcraft and all of that, as long as you tell them it's up in dark Africa. You know, there they can still understand that people have problems and issues and stuff like that. But Rion, come on, get real. You know, we're a first world country and we don't have problems like this. Yes, we do. That's why a lot of people's lives fall apart. That's why so many people go nowhere. That's why people are suffering. That's why there's a lot of mental illness. That's why there are so many families falling apart and there's family alienation, sickness, infirmity, all sorts of stuff happening. Somebody was talking to me just the other day explaining to me how they had these symptoms and they've been to doctors and they can't be diagnosed and, you know, going from one medication to the next medication to the next. Guess what happened when I prayed for them? A whole bunch of devils popped. The devils disappeared, the symptoms disappeared. Hello? You see, if you've got a spiritual problem, pilikis aren't going to fix it. But Jesus will. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God or the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Who would like the kingdom of God to come upon you tonight? Then say goodbye to your devils. Amen. Oh, come on, get excited, people. Oh, but I forgot. Most of you don't think you have devils. Stick around. We'll check it later. Who was here last week? Who of the ladies came forward last week because you did the pendulum, the ring? How many of you popped when I prayed? Yeah. Most of you. Last week we had probably 30 to 40 women come forward because they had had a pendulum done. For those of you that don't know what it is, you take one of your hairs or you take a piece of string and you tie your wedding ring to it and then you hold it over the person's hand and then the ring begins to swing. And all the ladies will probably testify that you don't make the ring swing. It just starts penduluming by itself. And then based on what it does, it will give an identity to the child, either male or female. And it tends to be right 90% of the time. The question is, what power is working on that ring to make it swing in the first place? Can you do this and tell the Holy Spirit, make the ring swing? Is he going to listen to you? Let me teach you something. John chapter 3 verse 8 says, the wind blows where he wants to. You don't know where he goes and you don't know where he comes from. And so it shall be with each of you that is born again of the Spirit of God. The Holy Spirit doesn't listen to you. He does what he wants. So when you want him to make the ring go, he's not going to do it. Because that's not his agenda. But there's a whole bunch of chochos waiting for the opportunity to start messing with your life. And they actually do. And you know the interesting thing? All the ladies that we prayed for that started manifesting last week said that something started happening to their hands. I want to show you something. Who can I use? I need to use a lady. A lady for this example. Which lady can I use? You come forward for me quickly, please. You see my lip ice here? Okay, can you see my lip ice? If you can't see it, come forward and I'll pray for the blindness or the semi-blindness or whatever, alright? Do you see this lip ice? Alright, let's talk about blessings. Does God want to bless you, yes or no? Okay, raise your hands if you believe God wants to bless you. If you really mean it, jump up and down. Amen. We don't charge extra for aerobics, eh? It's fine. Okay, so this represents God's blessing. Is the blessing available to everybody? All right, this is what Jesus had to say about it. God gives sunshine to the good and the bad. He gives rain to the righteous and the... So if she's unrighteous, can she still be blessed? If she's bad, can she still be blessed? Why? Because God is a father. Raise your hand if you're a father. How many of you have had naughty children? Did you stop feeding them because they're naughty? Did you refuse to clothe them because they're naughty? Did you make them walk everywhere because they're naughty? You're also a father. Fathers have a father's heart. We will bless regardless of. Okay, now. Just come and stand here for me. She should never be far removed from the blessing of God. Do you believe that? I want to make a statement. Let's say that there was some huge, big Satanist hanging around here in Springs somewhere, which I'm sure there is more than one. And if they are driving a car, who blessed them with the car, Satan or God? You see, my friend, Satan's a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. It's not in his nature to give. He can't give. He's incapable of giving. He can only take. So whatever that Satanist has got, God gave it. So she should be blessed. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. What's God's plan for her? Prosperity. Okay, I'm going to ask the question again, then you answer it. What's God's plan for her?
Prosperity.
What did you say?
Prosperity.
So should she, by definition, then be blessed?
Yes.
All right, this represents the blessing of God, which... according to the Bible, should always be available to her, whether she's good or bad, whether she's righteous or unrighteous, because God is a father, and by his grace, he wants to take care of us. Amen? All right. Stretch out your hand. This is the blessing of God. Take it. It's not difficult, is it? But you see, some people walk around under a curse. Let me show you what happens. Close your hand. Close it. Take the blessing. Oh. There's a problem. Let's try again. Maybe I didn't do it right. Take the blessing. Oh, the problem is still there. What does a curse do? Does a curse remove the blessing from you, or does it inhibit your ability to receive the blessing? No curse removes God's blessing. The blessings will always continue to come. But because of the curse upon your life, your ability to receive it is impeded. Do you understand? Now I've got some good news for you. If you are here tonight and you've been living under a curse, the blessings are stored up for you. Amen? So all we need to do is remove the curse so that the blessings can begin to flow. I wonder if you would mind testifying. Would you mind testifying? Come stand here with me. I'm proud of you. I didn't check with her before, so I hope she doesn't feel put. You don't feel put on the spot, do you? All right. We came to your business in this week to come and pray for you. They felt that something was wrong because suddenly business just dried up and there was all sorts of funny things going on, et cetera, et cetera. And we went there to go and pray with them, and some very interesting things happened. Witchcraft manifested. Some of the people working for them were not happy. So they've been doing witchcraft against her and her husband and against the business. And so, well, by the grace of God, witchcraft is under our feet. Amen? What did Jesus say? I have given you the authority to what? To trample on serpents and on scorpions and over all the power of the devil, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now, I have given you the authority. Does authority mean anything if you don't use it? You see, every believer has authority. Most believers don't know that they should use it. And you see, there's still a lot of people out there that don't believe the devil is real. Or if he's real, he can't touch me because I'm a Christian. You know, that's where Bobby Brown's song comes in. Can't touch this. Da-da-da-da. That's how some Christians believe. But that's ludicrous. Did the devil leave Jesus alone? Yes or no? So what makes you think he's going to leave you alone? Are you better than Christ? No, you're not. So if he messed with Christ, he will try and mess with you. But Jesus put him in his place. What are you doing? You see, a lot of people do nothing, and then when the pawpaw eats the fan, they blame God for all their problems. Because it can't be the devil. Somebody told me he can't touch me. Listen to me, man. God's not the thief. Satan's the thief. Now please tell them what happened after we sorted out the witchcraft and the rubbish.
On Thursday, Louis was very busy, lunchtime and in the evening, and he hasn't stopped.
Amen. Well, bless God. Thank you. There was an instant change in their circumstances. Amen. All right. Now that brings me to what I want to share with you today. For those people that don't believe that Christians can have problems from Satan's kingdom, let me just show you what the Bible says. Galatians chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before your very eyes, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed as crucified. I would like to learn just one thing from you. Did you receive the Spirit by observing the law or by believing what you heard? Are you so foolish? After beginning with the Spirit, are you now trying to attain your goal by human effort? It sounds complicated. It's not. The Apostle Paul writes a letter to the churches in the area of Galatia. It's not a very nice letter because he says to them they are foolish. They are not foolish because they believe in the devil. They are foolish because they allowed him to work against them. He says, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you. The word bewitched, what does that say to you? Does it sound to you like somebody is blessing them? Or does it sound to you like somebody is cursing them? Now, who would want to curse a church? Satan. Why? Look at your neighbor and say, the church is dangerous. Probably you didn't know that. There's some of you, you've never felt dangerous in your life. But according to Satan, you are dangerous. Can I tell you why you are dangerous? Because locked up inside of you is a destiny. Locked up inside of you are the gifts of the Holy Spirit that God has chosen to endow you with. And Satan doesn't want you to realize that destiny. Satan doesn't want you to release those gifts and begin to glorify God. Satan doesn't want you to take the lost. He doesn't want you to bring in the harvest. What is the easiest way to stop you from doing that? It's called backsliding. That's exactly what happened to this church. They started by believing in Christ, believing in His death, His resurrection, and receiving the Holy Spirit. And then they turned their back on that and they went back to the law. That is called backsliding. Satan loves backslidden Christians. That's why there's so many of them. Because he's always working against us. Now, what did he use? Look at what he used. You foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? There's a lot of people that say witchcraft doesn't work against Christians. Well, yeah, it worked against the churches in Galatia. If it can work against a body of believers, why won't it work against a believer? The problem is not that it worked. The problem is that the church allowed it to work. Because it shouldn't work. Amen? If we know Christ, if we know the victory that He gained for us on the cross, if we receive His authority and we are willing to use it, we can put the devil in his place. Amen? I have given you the authority. Whose authority must be used to put the devil in his place? God's or mine? Okay, some of you are a bit confused. I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. Okay, let's quickly do an exercise. Who can I use? You imported all the way from Germany. Come here. There we go. All right, what's your name again? Adolf. Ooh, Adolf coming from Germany. The last time that combination, let's just leave it. All right. Okay, Adolf. Let's check this out quickly. Do you know scorpions? No, you're not a scorpion, you're a Christian. All right. But you know a scorpion, right? Okay, let's say there's this huge big scorpion coming for you now and you're standing barefoot. What do? You grab a stick. Okay, you don't have a stick around. You don't have a stone around. No, man, you have to jump on the thing. Okay. Let's say he has shoes on because now he's a little bit afraid. You've got shoes on, all right? In the armor of God, we actually do have shoes, right? The shoes for the preparation of the gospel of peace. You've got shoes on. This huge big scorpion is coming. What do? Yeah, you want to squash the thing because if you don't squash it, it's going to squash you. If he stamps it, he's doing the right thing. But if he stands there and he's like, God, check this, Lord, it's coming closer, Lord. God, please. God! You know? Is that going to get him anywhere? Who must take authority? You must take authority. Thank you. You may sit down. You see, here's the thing you have to understand. We all have authority, but if we don't use it, God's not going to interfere. Because the Bible says, Luke 10, verse 17 to 19, I have given you. Look at your neighbor and say, that's you. Look at the other neighbor and say, you too. I have given you the authority to trample on serpents and scorpions. But you see, a lot of Christians are waiting for God to rock up and deal with the demons in their life. That's not God's problem. Jesus did what was necessary on the cross. What are you doing about it? Until you don't take authority, until you don't put your foot down, they're not going to go nowhere because they also understand how these things work. A lot of Christians don't want to take responsibility. They want everybody else to sort out their problems. It's not going to work for you. Okay. I want to give you some examples. I brought with a whole bunch of examples. A couple of years ago, I went to pray for a man who got sick. Inexplicably sick. He was in and out of hospital. He spent probably a couple of months in hospital. They ran test after test after test to try and find out what was wrong with this man. And every test was inconclusive. He couldn't hold food. No matter what he ate, it just kept coming out. They kept him alive by keeping him on drips. He also couldn't walk. Every time he walked, it felt like there was daggers pushing up his feet. They did all sorts of tests to try and find out what was wrong with this man, and they couldn't find what was wrong with him. To make a long story short, he came to see me one night. His wife brought him there. We prayed, a whole bunch of demons manifested in him. We cast out all the demons. And then I had to go to his house to go and see what was going on there, because some of the demons claimed that they were living in his life because of the stuff that he had in his house. I went to his house to go and investigate to see what the problem was. And when I walked in the front door, he had almost like, it's difficult to explain, but he had an infatuation with the Red Indians from America. He had been to the States many times for business, and every time he went there, he would bring back some of their curios. In fact, he had an entire totem pole in his lounge. He had all sorts of, you know, like the stuff that their shamans would wear, like those funny, the wolf thing and the, you know, all the feathers and all the funny stuff. He had a lot of these things, and he had weird things there that they use in their religious rites. Now, how many of you know that the Bible says, "For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God"? Hello? I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. Exodus chapter 20, verse 1 to 5. God is jealous. Now, you can't want to serve God, but you mess around with some other chocho. It's going to cause a problem. Not for God, but for you. And the thing is, the stuff that he had in his house was giving a place to evil spirits to come and work in his life. You see, what for him was curios to the Red Indians is an object of worship to their gods, to their ancestors, to their forefathers. You know, a lot of people will say to me when it comes to these things, "Yeah, but Rion, you know what? I don't see it that way. I don't care how you see it. How does God see it and how does the devil see it? Because those are the two that matter, not you." You know, a lot of people have stupid things in their house, but they don't realize that those things are satanic in their origin. And it is used in worshiping some demon god. If you have the devil's things in your house, the devil feels he's got right in your house. Try and tell him he mustn't come. He doesn't care. "You've got my stuff. I'm here." This is what happened. I didn't want to remove the stuff. I said to the man, "Listen, yeah, I didn't bring this rubbish into your house. You did, so you must remove it." He said, "All right, no problem." Guess what happened when he tried to pick it up? He couldn't. All the strength left his body. He fell down on the floor. Started getting sick, started vomiting. I had to go and lay my hands on him and pray for him. One by one, I cast one after the other demon out of this man. I can't even remember how many left him. Every time he tried to get up to take that stuff to remove it, another demon would manifest in him. We'd cast it out. Eventually, the power began to come back into his body. It took hours for him to take a couple of objects out of his house. Because every time he wanted to touch something, another demon would start manifesting. We would cast it out. Eventually, he had the power to pick up the stuff and carry it out. We burnt it all. All his symptoms, symptoms that had been around for months that the doctors had not an inkling of knowing how to treat, disappeared within 2 days after the stuff was out of his house. Can somebody give the Lord a hand, please? When I went to pray for him that day, his feet were swollen. You have never seen feet like that. There was the, you know, your ankles, it goes thin down there. There was no difference between his calves and his ankles. It went straight down. That's how much swelling he had in his feet. Even if they put you on good medicine and whatever, it's probably going to take a couple of weeks for all that swelling to go down. That swelling went down in a day, one day. Why? Because the power of darkness was conquered by Christ. But because that man was willing to deal with the rubbish that he brought into his house, and because he was willing to appropriate Jesus' victory on the cross. Amen? Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 15 says, "Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol, a thing detestable to the Lord, the work of a craftsman's hands, and sets it up in secret." You can't bring idols into your house. What is an idol? For those Afrikaans people here that don't understand that word, afgod. You are not allowed by the word of God. If you say that you are a child of God, listen to me carefully, the devil doesn't like you. And if he doesn't like you, you better not give him an opportunity to get to you. Because he will use any opportunity that you give him. This man had a shrine to false gods in his house. Guess what it did? It brought an enormous amount of problems. And the Bible said, cursed are you if you have these things. I'll give you another example. A couple of years ago, I was doing a series on this stuff in Kibler Park. There was a lady that started coming to my meetings. She had quite a few problems. She came a couple of times for us to pray. And the one night, I was actually talking about this type of stuff. You know, the objects that you could have in your house that could cause problems, etc., etc. That night after the meeting, she went home and she couldn't sleep. It was like something was calling her to her lounge. So she got up and she walked into the lounge. And on the lounge, in one of the walls, was this African mask hanging there. When she walked into the lounge and she looked at this mask, the eyes actually began to glow red. And she could actually see this thing look at her. It was the first time in her life she had ever seen this happen, and she was she was like stone. She began to cry out to her husband, eventually managed to wake him up, told him to come and remove the thing. Only once her husband removed the thing from the wall and took it out of the house, did whatever force was holding her release her, and she could start moving again. She came to me the next week, and she told me what happened. I told her to burn the thing. They burnt it and we prayed for her. A whole bunch of evil spirits left her. She was manically depressed. Guess what? After they left, there was no more depression. She suffered from insomnia. Guess what? After they left, she slept like a baby. Was she cursed? Yes, she was. Then I was preaching in a little town in the Free State. I actually did a weekend there where I spoke on all sorts of things, but I just the one day touched on some of the things that you could have in your house. So this one gentleman comes up to me. He says, listen, yeah, please do me a favor. You know, I've got serious anger issues and I can't understand what this is all about. And I'm afraid that if this doesn't get sorted out, that I'm going to end up in jail. I said, oh, that sounds serious. I didn't have anybody to go with me, so I went with him alone. I walked into his house. In his lounge, I saw something very strange. He had an infatuation with Egypt. How many of you know the Egyptians? I can't say that they're bad people, but they worship many false gods. It's biblical. They worship really weird and strange things. And so he had made with his own hands depictions of these false gods. He was a very artistic man. So he made himself idols of these false gods, and he gave them places of prominence in his house. What does the Bible say about making false gods? Well, let me read it to you again. Cursed is the man who carves an image or casts an idol. This man, without realizing it, was cursing himself with these things that he was making. I began to speak to him about it, and I said to him, listen, you know what, I can't tell you what to do with your life, but you asked me for some help and advice. These things are evil. You know what he says to me? No, they can't be. I made them. Hello? What does the Bible say? Don't do it. If you do it, you will be cursed. Now I'm sitting there. Now this man wants me to convince him that they are evil. I'm not going to convince you. You know you got problems. This is what the Bible says. Deal with it. There was a moment of sanity. That was the grace of God. The man said to me, okay, you know what? If this really is a problem, then I have to get rid of it. He took all that stuff and he broke it. He began to manifest wildly and violently. One by one, evil spirits started coming out of him. By the time it was finished, he had no more energy, he had no more strength left. But you know what? All the anger was gone. All the violence was gone. The temper was gone. It was the first time in years that he felt peace. He made it himself, but he did something that the Bible says, do not do this. I want to say to you again, I don't care how you see it. Ask this question, how does God see it and how does the devil see it? Because the Bible is very clear, don't mess with this rubbish. Another lady came to one of my meetings a couple of years ago. She was manically depressed and she tried to commit suicide on a number of occasions. So she asked if I could pray for her. I prayed for her and things didn't change. So eventually I said to her, listen, you know what, maybe you got some rubbish in your house that you should get rid of. So she and her husband invited me to come and have a look at the stuff that was in their house. Guess what I see when I walk into the house? Pride of place on the mantelpiece. A couple of nice Buddhas. You know, it never ceases to amaze me. These people call themselves Christians. Somewhere along the line, I don't know if the Bible is just Greek to them or if they never bothered to read the stuff. But the Bible says clearly, don't bring false gods into your house, because if you do, you will be cursed just like them. I took one look at that stuff and I said, listen, you got problems. Why? No, because you got these false gods in your house. Yeah, but they're not doing anything. I said, why have you got this thing? I know he's going to bring me good luck. Oh, how's it working for you so far? You tried to commit suicide once a week. Hello, come on. I mean, how deceived can you get? Hello? We got rid of them. Guess what happened the moment we got rid of them? Evil spirits began to scream out of this woman. She started getting epileptic fits. Took me a couple of hours to deal with all of the chochos that started coming out, but they started coming out when we removed the rubbish from her house. It turns out there wasn't just Buddhas, there was fairies and all sorts of stuff. I'm not going to get into the fairies tonight, but you come to the rest of the series, I'm going to tell you all about them. All right? And if you've got little girls and they've got them all over their house, over their room, you better come and listen, because I'm going to teach you some stuff. A lot of people don't realize it, but they curse their children by the rubbish that they allow their children to be exposed to. In fact, let me share with you a testimony. It's not on my list here, but it's just come to me, so I'm going to share it with you. I used to preach in Pretoria. Once a month, I preached at a church in Pretoria. The pastor liked me a lot, and he liked the stuff that happens when we pray, and he was all excited, and his wife was all excited. His daughter suffered from asthma. Brought the daughter to me to pray for her for the asthma. I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. Something started happening to the child. For a couple of months, the child was free of asthma. Then the asthma came back. They brought her again. I laid my hands on her. I prayed for her. Things began to happen. For a couple of months, the child was free from asthma. The asthma came back. When this happened for the third time, the father came to me and he said to me, listen, you know what? I don't want to be funny, but I don't understand how this works. Doesn't God, when he heals, heal completely? I said, yes, he does. He said, so why does my child get free, but only for a certain amount of time? And then these things come back. I said to him, look, there could be a lot of reasons, but I wonder if you don't have something in your house that keeps calling this stuff. Remember, the devil is a thief. He came to steal, to kill, and to destroy. If you lock up the house properly, the thief can't come in. But if you leave a door open, there's a way for the thief to come in. And when the thief comes in, he will steal from you. What do you think the thief wants to steal? Peace? What? Joy? Happiness? Health? If Satan can, he would love to rob you of your health. Listen, yeah, there's very few things that make you depressed and upset and negative as health issues that don't want to go away. Come on. I mean, a lot of people don't want to go to church because, you know, I've got too much problems. You know, I just want to stay at home. I'm just going to stay in bed now. Now, God doesn't want to do nothing for me. I'm all right, yeah. The devil loves it when we argue that way. So anyway, I said to the guy, listen, yeah, okay, if you want to, tonight after the meeting, I'll come with you to your house and I'll check it out. All right, fine. I go to their house. I've never been to their house. Guess what greeted me when I walked into the house? Probably like 100 fairies all over the house. You see, the mother and the daughter, they're all into this fairy thing. I walk into the house and I can almost see, we're going to have problems here tonight. Because when somebody has 100 fairies and you tell them it's a problem, they normally have a problem with you. So I understood that tonight we're going to have big problems. But anyway, they make me some coffee and we chit-chat a bit about this and a bit about that. Now I have to now drop the bombshell, you know. The wife was very kind to me. She gave me coffee, she gave me cook and tea. And the moment I spoke about the fairies, like, you know, she had this Darth Vader look about her. Very, very upset with me. I've ruined the friendship. She jumps up there. She says, no, this is rubbish. This is nonsense. God will never allow it, says who? Is that your opinion or does the Bible say that? You see, I'm not interested in your opinion. What does the Bible say? Do you know that in certain parts of the world they pray to fairies? They offer them sacrifices in the forests to appease them, to bring them good luck, etc., etc. What you think is cute, somebody else sees as a god. They pray to them. What? Oh, bedding. Yes. Oh, I can tell you some stories about that, but later. Okay. All right, this man, just for the sake of the CD, the question was asked, what if you have fairies on your child's bedding? What? You shouldn't have that rubbish on your child's bedding. You shouldn't. And this man said that their daughter couldn't sleep. And eventually they understood the problem, that it was because she was sleeping on bedding that was full of fairies and, you know, magical dingamadoodads, whatever. And from the moment they took that away and they prayed for the child is sleeping like a baby. Getting back to this house, I go to this house. This pastor's wife is very upset with me now because I'm ruining the friendship because I'm talking about her fairies and she doesn't want to listen. And I say to her, you know what? I'm not here to convince you. You have to read the Bible and you have to accept this for yourself. But please understand that it is your daughter that is suffering. And this is a choice that you're going to have to make. And if you believe the Bible, you must believe the Bible in its entirety. And the Bible says, do not bring an accursed object. Has anybody got an NIV Bible for me? Yeah? Has anybody got a King James Version Bible? I'm sorry, but for some reason, my Bible stayed at home today. I apologize for that. It won't happen again. No, I don't want the BlackBerry Bible. It's very small. Have you got one here? Let me just borrow that. Oh, now she gives me like the smallest one ever. All right, I want to just quickly read you something. I'm going to read you from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 7. We're going to talk about this in more detail later on, but I have to just touch on it tonight. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 25. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. What must you do with the images of false gods? Burn them. If God meant it when he spoke to the Israelites, do you think he's changed his mind in the meantime? How many of you know that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever? If he hated false gods back then, he hates them today. If he said to the Israelites 2,000 years or 4,000 years ago, they will cause problems, they will still cause problems. You know, a lot of people say, oh no, but Rion, we live under grace. Try and tell that to the demon that's stealing from you every night. He's not interested. Now listen to this. The images of their gods you are to burn in the fire. Do not covet the silver or the gold that is on them, and do not take it for yourselves, or you will be ensnared by it. What is a snare? It's a trap. God is saying clearly that sometimes the devil will make his things look very attractive, and you will want them, but if you take them, you spring the trap for yourself. Then he goes on and he says this. You will be ensnared by it, for it is detestable to the Lord your God. Listen to me. For those of you that don't understand, the word detestable is a very strong English word. If you detest something, you hate it above all else. All right, now, going further. And do not bring a detestable thing into your house, or you like it will be set apart for destruction. Utterly abhor it and detest it, for it is set apart for destruction. In other words, God says all these false gods that you bring into your house, one day they will spend eternity in the lake of fire. They will be destroyed. But if you bring them into your house now, you bring the destruction into your house now. In fact, if you read the King James Version of this exact same verse, it will go something to this effect. Do not bring an accursed thing into your house, or you like it will be accursed. Just pass it to the lady there, please. We are Christians. And the Word of God tells us how to live our life. The Word of God has a lot of good things, but there are also a bunch of things we shouldn't be doing. One of the things you should not be doing is bringing things into your house that will give the devil place. In fact, Ephesians 4 verse 25 says, give the devil no place. Why? Because he's a thief. And if you give him place, he will rob you of everything that is valuable to you. Getting back to this house. The mother is very upset because I'm telling her that her fairy should go. But I can't tell her that she must do it. I can only give her some good advice. This is something she has to do. So she and her husband, now they're talking, but actually they're fighting in front of me because the husband kind of like feels the way I do and the wife is like, what's wrong with you? You should take my side here. Eventually, by the grace of God, common sense prevailed. The mother agrees that they will get rid of all the rubbish. They burn all the fairies. The ones that could break, they break. The ones that could burn, they burn. I lay hands on the child. I pray for the child. That night, something strange happens. The daughter has an asthma attack, the worst one she's ever had. Her father told me later they thought that she would die that night. He says, if I was there, he would have hit me because he felt it was all my fault. But you know what the funny thing was? That was her last asthma attack. And yeah, give the Lord a big hand. And now there's a wonderful blessing that comes with this story because she had to go, because her asthma was so severe and so chronic, she had to go for a twice yearly checkup so that they could adjust her medicines, et cetera, et cetera. And when she goes for this checkup, they actually do a lot of tests and stuff on her lungs to test how strong her lungs are, you know, how much oxygen they hold, et cetera, et cetera. And a couple of weeks after this final asthma attack, she had to go for her next checkup. And the nurse or the doctor or whoever, they went to the hospital and they started her on the stuff. And after a while, they come and they call the father and they say, sir, can we have a word with you? They say, we find this very strange because we pick up not even a trace of asthma with this child. And even if she had outgrown it, there would still be signs that she had asthma. According to the tests, she had the lungs of somebody that had never suffered from asthma. Amen. Give the Lord a big hand, please. All right. Then I want to share something else with you. Very, very interesting stuff. This lady is actually here tonight. I'm not going to ask her to come forward. But there is a scripture in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 27 verse 17 that says, cursed is the man who moves his neighbor's boundary stone. Back then it was a big deal. Because you understand, they didn't have like some office where it was clearly shown whose boundary runs where. You know, there were stones put down. This is mine, this is mine. And some unscrupulous oak could go overnight and just move the boundary stones and take like half your property, you know. So God, in order to preserve justice, said if anybody does these things, a curse will come upon them. We have a person here tonight. I prayed for her probably 8 years ago, 7 years ago. I can't even remember how long ago it was. From birth, she had one sickness after the other sickness. She spent an enormous amount of time in and out of hospital. The doctors tried everything to deal with those symptoms, but they could never get rid of the problem. And it went from one disease and one infirmity to the next, to the next, to the next. Eventually, out of desperation, her mother took her to a witch doctor. Because obviously the normal medicines weren't helping for her. The witch doctor, whether she went into a trance or whatever she did, I don't know. But the witch doctor came and said the following. This child is cursed because somebody moved the boundary lines of the property that you live on. Now I know the witch doctor said it, but it's biblical. If you move the boundary lines, a curse will come. Fast forward, maybe 30 or 40 years. She's sitting in one of my meetings. I'm speaking about curses. She comes forward and she says, listen, yeah, this is the situation. I've been battling with infirmity my whole life. I've got all of these problems. And one day a witch doctor said, this is because of boundary lines that were moved. I said, well, you know what? I can't say whether the witch doctor is right or wrong, but God knows what the problem is. Let's pray. Guess what happened? A demon began to scream out of her. Guess why? Because she was under a curse because somebody in her ancestors moved the boundary lines of the property. Somebody stole half a meter or a meter from the property next door. She didn't do it, but the curse was on the property. And you know, she actually said to me, one of the funniest things was that from a child, from an early childhood, she always had this thing that she had to eat the soil. She couldn't help herself. She used to eat the soil of the property. Why? The devil was just trying to prolong the curse, to give it more power. We prayed for her that night. She went violent. Lots of screaming, lots of yelling, lots of shouting. Guess what? God set her free. Amen. She was set free. Okay. The next one is very important. This is some of the stuff we don't like to talk about. And if we've done things like this, we'd rather not share with other people. But I'm willing to say that at least 30% of the people in this room have messed around with this stuff. And if you have messed around with the stuff, this will cause endless problems in your life. Let's look at what the Bible has to say in the book of Leviticus 19, verse 31. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Listen carefully. God is speaking to his children. He's not talking to a bunch of Satanists. He's not talking to the Hittites or the Gerashites or the Philistines. He's talking to his people and he says, listen to this. Do not turn to mediums or seek out spiritists, for you will be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. What does he mean by that? You need help, come to me. Don't go to false gods. Don't go to demons. Don't go to devils. Don't go to spiritists. Don't go to mediums. Don't go to fortune tellers. A lot of people have done that. And you must understand something. When you go to one of these people, you are going to the kingdom of darkness for help. Number one, he can't help you. Number two, you will pay a severe price for going to him in the first place. Because listen to me carefully. The Bible says you shall not bow down to false gods. And the Bible also says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve both God and Mammon. What people don't understand is if you serve God, God says, yeah, for I, the Lord your God, am your God. You either look to God as your provider, to God as your healer, to God as your deliverer, or you turn your back on him and you go to something else. What happens when you turn your back on God? You are vulnerable. You are vulnerable. Now listen to this. Leviticus 20 verse 6. I will set my face against any person who turns to mediums and spiritists to prostitute themselves by following them, and I will cut them off from their people. Do you see what the Bible says there? This is serious. You want to understand a curse? This says if you do these things, even God will turn his back on you. There are a lot of people whose lives are falling apart right now because 20 years ago you thought it would be fun to go to a fortune teller. You thought it would be fun to just call up your dead granny. It's not fun. The devil likes to tell us, play with a Ouija board. It's interesting. It's not interesting, it's deadly. Because when the ho-ho comes, he doesn't go away again. He stays. He likes to hang around. Leviticus 20 verse 27. Any man or woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put to death. You must stone them, and their blood must be on their own hands. Ooh. Does God like fortune telling? No. Does he like mediums? No. Does he like spiritism? No. Does he like witchcraft? No. Yet people, even people in the church, still do these things. And I want to focus on that last one. A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist among you must be put to death. In other words, the consequence of messing with witchcraft or spiritism or fortune telling, that type of stuff, is death. So the curse of death comes upon the life of an individual that messes around with the stuff. But you have to understand that there are worse things than physical death. Spiritual death is very bad. Some people get spiritual death that starts coming over their mind. They become forgetful. They become confused. They become paranoid. They suffer from depression. They suffer from hallucinations. The devil gets power over their mind because the spirit of death touches the mind. You keep making stupid decisions. Others get death in the area of their eyes. But not physical, spiritual. The Bible says there is a road that seems right unto man, but the end thereof leads unto death. Sometimes when people have played around with Ouija boards and they've tried to call up spirits and they've played glossy and all these stupid things, what they don't realize is they bring a curse upon their vision. The Bible says, my people perish for lack of vision. What is vision? Vision is the ability to receive from God revelation to know whether I should go this way with my life or that way. If God doesn't guide you on the path He has chosen for you, guess what? You're going nowhere. There's a lot of people that have gone nowhere for 20 years because 20 years ago they tried to call up the dead. Because now the devil has got the right to curse your vision. Some people, what they don't realize is death comes upon their feet. What takes you from point A to point B? Your feet. So when death comes and it touches your feet, you start standing still. You can walk and walk and walk and walk. You'll go left, right, left, right, left, right. You'll never go anywhere because your prosperity going forward, that part of your life, is cursed. Death doesn't have to touch you physically to destroy your life. It can touch you emotionally. It can touch you spiritually. Ooh, and guess what? It loves to touch your finances. You see, you paid it 20 years ago, you paid it $20 to read your teacup. But you're still paying. Because you gave the devil power over your finances when you went and paid him for information. That was in any case a lie. According to the Bible, they all lie. Hello? And even when they tell you the truth, they're still lying. Because it's not God speaking, it's the devil. Amen? It's getting very quiet in this room right now. Am I making some enemies? All right, let me share with you some examples. Eddie's jumping up and down there. He tells me my time is up, so I'm going to share one or two examples, and then next week we'll carry on with the rest. I'm going to be speaking on this stuff for probably 20 weeks. So keep coming. I'm going to teach you lots of stuff. And by the time we finish casting all your devils out of you, you'll feel as light as a feather. Amen. Amen. Oh, Lord, bless God. A young man started coming to my meetings many years ago. When I began to talk on curses, etc., the one night, he came to see me afterwards and he said, listen, yeah, I'm convinced that I am cursed. I said, why? He says, because me and my wife, we can't have children. I said, okay, that could be a curse. One of the things that the Bible talks about is a curse of barrenness. I went out to his house to go and see them. And this is what I heard. He dabbled in Satanism. Now, what does the Bible say? A man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist amongst you must be put to death. I told you that one of the things that starts happening when you play around with the things of the devil is death comes for you. But it doesn't have to be physical death. What if it brings death over your reproductive system? So I listened to this man and I said to him, you know what, based on what you've just told me, I believe that it's entirely possible that you opened yourself up to a curse of barrenness because of what you did. He said to me, yeah, but you know what? I never went in very deep into it. Do you think the devil cares how deep you go in? Uh-uh. The moment you go after his things, he comes for you. I spoke to him and I spoke to his wife. I led him in a prayer to confess to God what he did, to renounce all demons that he called upon himself or into himself or whatever, to renounce any spells that he did to help him, etc., etc. Guess what happened? I was still leading him in this prayer, and the next moment this ungodly sound started coming from this man's mouth. And if I had a tape recorder there that night, I could prove it to you, but now you'll just have to take my word for it. It actually sounded like a lion began to growl out of this man. And he was not a very big guy. He was not a very butch guy. But the voice that came out of that man, I tell you what, it was deep. Guess what it was? The spirit of death. But where was he working? In his loins. Bless God, we cast it out. Now, there's a wonderful twist to the story. When I left his house, I said, you have to go and do some homework. Babies don't make themselves. His wife fell pregnant. And you know, on the sonar, they can tell you when the date was of conception. Guess what date it showed? Either that same night or the following night. Because the curse broke that night. Amen. Come on, give the Lord a big hand. All right, my time is actually up. So I'm not going to go much further. Why am I sharing this with you? I'm sharing this with you because I want you to understand that when God says don't, he means it. And if you overstep these boundaries, you bring problems into your life. But it's not all negative. Because Jesus died for you. And he rose to give you victory. His victory is your victory, but only if you understand the problem and are willing to deal with it. I want to go back to what happened last week. Last week I shared one of the testimonies about a woman that had had the pendulum swung and all sorts of problems started happening. And then a whole bunch of women came and said, I did it, I did it, I did it. I said, all of you come and stand here. We had two rows, one row there, one row there. I don't think any of them thought that they messed up when they did it. But most of them were lying here screaming on the floor as things began to come out of them. You know, the Americans have this saying, ignorance is no excuse for breaking the law. A lot of people say, yeah, but you know, this is unfair. I didn't know. Well, that's your problem. You should know. Number one, you should know what you shouldn't do. Number two, if you've done it, you should know what to do to get it out of your life. There is hope. Why is there hope? Because Jesus died and rose again. And for those of you that don't know why he died, he had to die to go to hell. It was the only way to get into hell. The reason he had to get into hell because the devil was sitting there on his throne thinking he's in charge and somebody had to take his keys from him. Jesus went to take his keys. The keys that he used to lock you up with a spirit of death or lock you up with a spirit of suicide or lock you up with a spirit of fear, Jesus has those keys now. And if you're willing to trust him, he will release those keys into your life to set you free. Didn't Jesus say, I have given you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. What you bind in the heavens will be bound on earth. What you loose in the heavens will be loosed on earth. Come on. Because of what Jesus did, we have the keys. Listen, yeah, the devil likes to tell us how powerful he is. He doesn't even have the keys to his own house. Amen. Now, give the Lord a big hand. It doesn't matter what your problem is. Jesus can set you free. The reason a lot of people do not get set free is because they don't know the truth about these things. You know, I'm not trying to be ugly, but deliverance is not a case of plonking somebody down on a chair, jumping up and down and rebuking the devil and everything's fine. If the person sitting there doesn't understand the problem and doesn't understand where they allow the devil in, then they also can't really be set free. Because Jesus said, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Tonight I shared with you the truth. Some of you are sitting here and you're panicking. It's not you, it's your ho-ho. Because they just heard the truth as well. Now bite your own lip and don't run away. Stay for prayer and you'll probably see your life begin to go forward. Did anybody learn something tonight? Give the Lord a big hand, please. You know, I want to share a very interesting occurrence that we had last week here. I was talking about rings, and I was sharing that you should not wear another person's ring because rings are very personal. And you know, Jesus actually, the Word of God actually says, do not take the silver or the gold. Why? Because for some strange reason, evil spirits like to attach themselves to objects made of silver and objects made of gold. I can't explain it to you, but that is a spiritual phenomenon. It works that way. And you know what? Because a ring is a very, very personal thing, the essence of the person that wears it, if they have a familiar spirit working in their life, that familiar spirit will sit on the ring. If you take that ring and you hand it down from generation to generation, you're just handing the curse down from generation to generation. And as I was sharing these things, there was a young girl sitting there and she had a ring on her finger that had been sitting there very happily for who knows how long. And the moment we began to speak about these things, that ring actually popped off of her finger. Guess what? God was talking to her. She came forward, we prayed for her. Something happened. Amen. There was somebody that left this ring here last week. You took it off. Who was it? Is it you? All right, ma'am, this ring needs to be dealt with. Come and see me afterwards and we'll discuss what you want to do with it. Okay. All right.